Welcome to It Really Happened, the podcast for anyone who likes stories with an unexpected and quite often unbelievable twist. All stories are true and will leave you asking yourself, did that really happen? The answer is always a resounding yes, it really did. Here is your host, Ryan Toohey.
Welcome back to episode 9, where we are going European style. Each of these stories happened somewhere in Europe. It was the week before Christmas in 2015 when 82-year-old English grandmother Gladys Phillips was out in the port town of Felixstowe in Suffolk, England, getting some of her holiday shopping done. After stopping for a cup of tea, Gladys felt nature call, and she rushed off and found a newly installed public restroom that appeared to be locked. But after a little work, she managed to get inside. Getting inside was the easy part. On her way out, Gladys realized that she had a problem. The door was locked, and no matter what she did, she couldn't get it open. Gladys said she was not really concerned at first when she couldn't get out. In fact, she said she was just relieved that she managed to go to the loo. Gladys banged on the door and walls and did a lot of shouting for help, but no one came to her rescue. Prior to her restroom stop, she had just stopped at a shop and picked up a ball of pink wool. So to pass the time until someone found her, she started knitting a scarf. When she got hungry, she ate some of the mint imperial candies that she had also picked up while she shopped. The day turned into night, and Gladys slept on her big, warm overcoat. When she got cold, she sat under the hand dryer. Eventually, a workman came to finish painting the restroom that was still under construction, and there he found a sweet grandma with a nearly finished scarf locked inside. Gladys was very relieved to get out alive after 4 full days had passed. And as for the pink scarf, she said one of her grandchildren would get it for Christmas. During the ordeal, Gladys obviously didn't have a cell phone with her, and she didn't even have a phone at home, but her daughter was working on changing both of those. In 2013, a newly married German couple had been honeymooning in France. On their return trip home to Berlin, they were driving through central Germany and stopped to fill up their gas tank in the town of Bad Hersfeld. At the gas station, the groom quietly filled up because he didn't want to wake his new wife, who was sleeping in the back seat of their minivan. After the gas station stop, and while listening to music about halfway to Berlin, the groom looked in the back seat and noticed a huge problem. His wife was gone. He immediately stopped and called the police back in Bad Hersfeld. She had already done the same thing, and he was informed that she was waiting for him at the gas station. When they had stopped for gas, she quietly went inside to use the restroom, and he didn't notice. After he left, she had no way to contact him, and all she could do was wait for him to make contact with her. 2.5 hours and over 125 miles passed before he noticed her absence. He immediately turned around, and they were reunited more than 5 hours later when he found her waiting patiently at the gas station. She said she wasn't mad at him because he didn't mean it. Starting in 2004 and up until 2007, Polish citizen Prawo Jazdy had easily become the most notorious and reckless traffic violator in all of Ireland. Over several years, Prawo Jazdy had racked up more than 50 unresolved speeding and parking violations all over Ireland, and the Irish police were baffled by the elusive man. The 50-plus violations had occurred in several different counties in Ireland, but each time he was ticketed, and before it was widely known that he was wanted, Prawo Jazdy seemed to vanish again and again. The method he used was that after each traffic offense, Prawo Jazdy would seemingly return to Poland and change his address, making it nearly impossible for Irish police to find him. Because of the countless address changes, there was not a single record of Pravo Yazde ever being convicted of any of his infractions. The years-long search for Pravo Yazde had become a national embarrassment to nearly every law enforcement agency within Ireland, as nearly every member at every level of the Irish police was on the lookout for this mysterious man. But the real embarrassment didn't occur until the end of his run as Ireland's most notorious traffic offender, when the case was finally cracked. In June of 2007, an officer from the Garda Traffic Division in Ireland indicated that it had come to his attention that police officers who were writing traffic violations for Polish citizens were writing Pravo Yazde as the license holder's name. In Polish, Pravo Yazde translates to driving license. For all those years, the Irish police had been chasing Mr. Driving License. The problems began in 2004 when Poland changed their driver's license from a booklet-type license to a pink card that had the words Pravo Yazde on the top right corner, confusing the entire Irish police force. The reason there were so many Pravo Yazde traffic violations was because between the mid-1990s and late 2000s, roughly 200,000 Polish citizens had immigrated into Ireland and became the second largest immigrant class in Ireland due to the flourishing years of the Celtic Tiger economy in Ireland. Donna Roberts was only 19 years old when she received a random text message in 2009 that read, "Hi, what are you up to?" Donna was a little confused and wasn't sure what to make of the unexpected message, so she simply replied, "Who is this?" From that one simple text, many more followed, and after several days of back-and-forth messaging, Donna agreed to meet the charming mystery texter she had come to know as Mark Ellis, but she insisted they meet in a public place. At their first meeting, the young Donna was surprised when a man in his mid-40s, a man over twice her age, walked in. Donna later admitted that she had never bothered to ask him his age. But at that point, it didn't matter. The two struck up a relationship and fell in love. In 2016, 7 years and two children later, they were happily engaged. When this story was reported across the UK in 2016, their young children really didn't know how their parents had met. Donna would just tell them that their dad had texted her by mistake. But the question still remains, where did Mark get Donna's number? Was it a completely random number he made up and then texted? After they first met and were in their initial courting stage, it took Mark several days to tell Donna where he really got her number. And in hindsight, Donna said that it was probably a good idea he didn't tell her immediately. In 2009, Mark was a truck driver and was at one of his favorite pubs in Garforth, West Yorkshire, England. He had gone to the restroom, and on the wall of the toilet stall, Mark saw someone had scribbled, "If you want a good shag, call Donna at," and her number was right there. When Mark first texted the mystery number, he later said that it was an impulsive decision and he really just wanted to know if it was a real human being on the other end. "Hi, what are you up to?" was the text message that would change Mark Ellis's life forever. Years later, they both still laugh about Mark's impulsive decision to send a text message to a random number written on the wall in a toilet. Donna said she obviously didn't write her own phone number on the wall that promised a good shag. Nope, she gives all the credit and gratitude to her vengeful ex-boyfriend. She said, "I should thank my ex. He did me a favor."
Thank you for joining us for this episode of It Really Happened. We hope you enjoyed it. Positive reviews are always appreciated. Please tune in for future episodes and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends and family. If you have any questions, comments, or a story to share, please email them to itreallyhappenedpodcast@gmail.com.